Jacks and Stock Daddy Show. Welcome to the Relaxed Back with my dad, John Gifford. Hit it, Dad!
Smart moves.
Absolutely. So we're going back to that one stretch, sitting in a chair. That seated hip stretch is definitely one of the most requested movements that I get from my clients.
Get schooled.
And one of the amazing things is many people aren't aware that according to many studies, there are just as many people with herniated discs who have no pain as those who do. You know, that's one thing.
Take it inside.
Exactly. What a lot of people aren't aware of is that they think they're tense because of a feeling, and usually it's the resistance to the existence of that feeling that makes them tense. And that's important because tension increases muscular pain.
It's all here, right now.
You know, I agree. I mean, maybe talking about pain and tension isn't always exciting, but here's the question. You know, if you wear out your body, where are you going to live? I mean, that's the kind of question we're starting to look at. All right. Well, welcome to another show of the Relaxed Back. We're back. I'm back. John's here. And, you know, I didn't tell you this, you know, last week we started where it wasn't just me anymore. I brought someone else on the show and had a call. And Luke actually called and said, man, that's really, it, rather than just having you on, I really, really, he left his voicemail. And he said, I think Crystal is awesome.
Oh.
And now, for all you listeners out there, all seven of you. What's interesting about that is Allison is actually the person who's with me on the show here. So nice job, Luke. But Allison, Crystal, you know.
Whatever.
Whatever. It works.
It works.
All right. What do we kick down for the Relaxed Back today? What's going on?
What is going on? We have a Get Schooled segment today.
Okay. Throw it at me.
And the title is Under Pressure.
Under Pressure.
So the question for that is, should deep body work be painful?
Well, that is a fantastic question. It's probably one of the most common questions that that I get when I do my seminars. And also for clients when they come in here, most people aren't educated about how much pressure to use when you're working with muscles, especially with deep body work. And one thing that I think the biggest problem that's out there today is that there's a big difference between deep body work and aggressive body work. And what's happening out there, you know, last week we started talking a little bit about trigger points. Trigger points are knots. They're hard areas in muscle tissue. They typically hurt because they are what we call anoxic.
Anoxic?
Anoxic. A-N-O-X.
Ick?
Ick. Which basically means reduced levels of oxygen. And that's what makes muscles hurt. In fact, about the only way a muscle can hurt, unless there's some pathology, is if there's inadequate oxygen to the tissue. And really, all clinical deep body work deep tissue therapies are aimed at trying to increase blood flow or oxygen saturation to those muscle areas. I say clinical because when there are energy body works out there, but that's really not the principle that we try to work under. We're really trying to see if getting more blood to tight muscles makes a difference in the person's pain or tension. And one thing that we talk about with clients when they come in is I always make sure to educate them that before they get on the table, that there are three things to watch out for in terms of using too much pressure. If the person has to alter their breath, if you have to tighten other parts of your body to counteract the pain from the pressure, because sometimes trigger points are tender when you press on them, or if psychologically you have to tense, and people always wonder what that means, but that's in your mind saying, oh my gosh, I hope he doesn't push there anymore, I hope he doesn't hold that in any longer. If you have to do any of those three things, then chances are you're not going to get the best return on your investment that you've spent with your body work. Now, for therapists, It's really important. And what happens with a lot of therapists is you get caught in this belief that you have to really work deeply. You have to beat this person up on the table. You have to beat these muscles into submission. And I would suggest that you just take a minute with that philosophy and just think about that you're trying to help the muscles relax. And to my experience, you can't force a muscle to relax. It reminds me of that Seinfeld episode where George went to the that stress management and they kept saying, "Serenity now! You must relax." And so it's really important that with deep body work with for therapists, you really need to have that open communication with your clients. And a lot of therapists kind of have this mindset of, well, I know what I need to do. I know what has to be done. And I'm just going to follow through with my plan without checking it out to see how the patient or how your client is reacting. And it's also very, very important for therapists to get what I call a definition of terms, which is the same thing that you do when you go into a legal agreement. And one thing with a definition of terms is to know what the word good means. And I say that because I had this guy some time ago, I was working with him, and I was applying pressure to some of these cords, and he would say, "Oh, that's good." And so I went back and I worked that area again. He says, "Oh, that's really good." And I went back and worked that area some more. And the third time, he gets up on his elbow and says, "What are you doing? I said that's good," which means there's nothing there. Move on to something that's more important. Well, I thought good meant he wanted me to work that area more. So it's very important during the session to even be able to say, "Okay, you said good. What does that mean? Does that mean you want me to, when you say enough, does that mean you want me to press harder? You want me to ease up on the pressure? If you don't feel pain, do you want me to move on to another area?" It's really important. So many therapists just don't ask clients questions. And then what happens is clients don't get the experience they want at the least. At the worst, they don't feel better. They don't come back. It's just not good for anybody. And so it's really important to try to keep an open dialogue. And sometimes that means being able to put your ego aside when people ask questions or when they want you to do something other than what you want to do. So remember, try to stay away from aggressive body work that tends to, in my experience, to make muscles more sore. Be gentle.
Be kind.
Be kind.
Be gentle.
Be kind. There we are. What else?
Anything
else?
There we are. We have a follow-up question.
Yeah.
How can you convince a person that tension is causing their muscle pain?
I get this question a lot from therapists. If I'm giving a seminar or clients who are maybe therapists, and they'll ask me that question because, as many of you know, I think the understanding our psychological tension and how stress, i.e. fear, plays into our muscular tension and pain is very important. But in that question, if you're asking the question, how can you convince a person that tension is causing their pain, I think there are two major understated premises, both of which I think are false. One is that you can convince someone. I don't think you convince anyone of anything. I think people make new decisions based on new information. We educate people about tension, educate what we know about mind-body connection, give them ways they can research that for themselves and see if for themselves if that new information opens the opportunity for them to take a different look at it. But you're not going to convince anyone. And a lot of therapists try to do that, try to convince someone that it has to be their stress that's causing their pain. The other thing in that question is that you'll never know for sure if stress is a contributor or not. And if you think you can know, then you're really getting locked into this false dichotomy. Well, if I'm not helping them with my work, then it must just be their stress, and that's why it's not getting better. And you have to be very careful that as you learn more contributions, maybe you go to a seminar and you learn, oh, wow, look, stress can really contribute to someone's muscle pain. You got to be careful that you don't get so conditioned to believing that every time now someone that isn't responding, you put them in the category of, oh, well, it must be their stress, and they have to deal with their stress. And that conditioning is very, very powerful. And so you have to remember to try to keep an open mind. And One thing that happened to me a couple of weeks ago, I had a guy in who disclosed that he was under a tremendous amount of stress and he had a lot of neck and shoulder pain. It started around the same time of the stress, which you might think, oh, those two must be connected. Maybe, maybe not. But the other thing that happened was that he received an appliance to wear at night around that same time to help with his jaw pain. And an appliance basically keeps you from keeping your from the teeth clenching. In fact, if you want to do a little exercise, you could place two or three fingers over your jaw on the right side and then clench down really tight. You feel those muscles popping out. You can do this, Allison. Now take your left finger and bite on your finger and now clench. See how those muscles aren't popping out anymore?
Mm-hmm.
If you can clench without those the teeth touching, you can ease a lot of the pressure of those jaw muscles. So a lot of times people who have grinding of the teeth or clenching at night, they give an appliance that prevents the person from the teeth touching. Anyhow, he had this appliance put in his mouth for nighttime. And what we talked about was I said, you know, it's possible that that is easing the tension in your jaw, but now that tension is just being transferred to another part of your body. So he took it out for a couple nights, and he actually canceled his appointments because he said that really helped out tremendously. So if I was caught into it had to be his stress, I would have never been open to thinking about anything else that might have been going on. So you got to make sure to try to keep an open mind with that because conditioning can be so strong. This is where Allison says, how strong?
How strong is it?
Conditioning is so strong. Here's a way to think about it. Next time there's a nice clear night, look up in the sky, find the Big Dipper, look away, and then try to look back again and not see the Big Dipper. Pretty hard. Conditioning. Big stuff. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We are out of here. This is John. Crystal, you want to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
We'll see y'all next time. Bye. Hey, everyone. This is John Gifford, and I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of The Relaxed Back. Feel free to email me with your questions or comments. I would love to hear from you. All previous episodes, as well as our contact information, can be found at therelaxedback.com or by searching The Relaxed Back in iTunes. This podcast is sponsored and owned by my company, MotionWise, which is devoted to helping people reduce muscular pain and tension by providing hands-on muscle care, educational trainings, and self-help resources such as my book, The Relaxed Back. Visit MotionWise.com to learn more about our services or to have me speak to your company, convention, or institution. Till next time, stay loose.